Blog Talk Radio.
On Monroe Street. Black Panther leaders Fred Hampton and Mark Clark were killed, but it was also really a turning point that took years to uncover government motives and their efforts to silence the Black Panther movement. Today, Hampton and Clark's loved ones, though, they held a moment of silence, but they will not be silenced at all as they continue to speak out about that deadly raid and today's issues as well. Grim Zero, the two flat Chicago police raided 50 years ago, killing Fred Hampton, the chairman of Illinois' Black Panther Party, his fiancée, 8.5 months pregnant, in the same bedroom when police busted in.
But Chairman Fred moved up from the bed. He moved real slow, and he never moved out the bed and laid his head back down slow. And I left the room with no blood on my clothing, which indicates he had not been shot while I was in the room.
Chicago police shot and killed Hampton and Mark Clark, who was the Panthers' defense captain. Today, their family, along with dozens of Black Panthers and community members, gathered to remember that moment. Blair Anderson said he survived the police raid that morning because of Clark.
In my opinion, the romantic child makes Mark Clark the hero of the Civil War.
Today, Clark's family still carries this message. What happened 50 years ago still happens today.
The assassination continues. The police assault on the Black community is horrendous.
And while time has passed, the lessons of those original Panthers continue, and the activism as well. Joan McCarty now speaks to the Stone College.
I always remember what Fred said, you know, you have to keep the revolution alive, you have to keep struggling. So that's the next generation. That's one of my kind.
What Fred used to say was that the beat goes on, and the beat goes on.
The next beat is the next generation. Fred Hampton Jr. now leads the Black Panther Party Cubs, and he's also consulting movie producers as they turn Fred Hampton's life into a movie.
This is still a battle to make sure that the legacy stays intact. You know what I'm saying? So, again, so this is the closer we come engaged to the process of the movie, Chairman Fred.
And Fred Hampton Jr. tells me he is actively involved in the story. Will reflect on his dad's life and December 4th, 1969, the actual moment, the day of the raid. The movie hasn't been titled yet, but Hampton Jr. says that it is going to be there. It's also really important to note as well, the federal government, Cook County, and the city of Chicago, they did pay out a $1.5 million settlement to the city and also to Hampton. That tells you the culpability was as well. Hey, if you like that video, be sure.
And greetings. Welcome to another special edition of New Day Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, of course, and certainly you are in tune to this edition of New Day, which is also a kind of supplement to what we've been doing for the past few days, which, of course, focuses on reparatory justice, that being what we call R4J. Yep. R4J, meaning there's four areas of reparatory justice that we will be focusing on now, and it is, of course, reparations, restitution, retribution, and restoration. Each one of those areas are, in fact, areas in law, and, of course, we are focusing on them in the context of actual justice, by way of adequate remedies and resolutions, and that puts it mildly. The Recharge Genocide 21 Project is, of course, a three-year minimum project, which is geared to make certain that the advancements in what Mother Callie House began in the 1800s with ex-slave compensation, and then others, of course, Queen Mother Moore, Dr. Robert Brock, Dr. Yusuf Clye, Paul Robeson, William Patterson, and certainly Malcolm X, El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz, to name a few. But those are certainly some that we are very, very familiar with. In fact, we have researched a lot of their work and will continue to research more of their work. But this weekend is kind of a preliminary. We decided to make it a preliminary virtual conference. The main conference is going to happen on December the 17th. Starting from December 17th straight through December the 20th. And we decided to do that because December the 17th is the actual day that Paul Robeson delivered to the United Nations the petition known as We Charge Genocide, that he, William Patterson, and others drafted. Of course, William Patterson played a major, major role in it, and certainly there's a book that he published or produced that is of that title, We Charge Genocide. A tremendous amount of work went into that project, into that campaign, and you figure 1951 to accumulate names, dates, ages, cities, all of that around the issue of police brutality, murder, mob, the Klan, lynchings, all of that in 1951. So certainly in 2021, we certainly can do much more. So with the MWM Universal Movement and other affiliates, we are certainly committed to making certain that we are able to move things forward in such a way that we now are able to really qualitatively, substantially make the position of genocide against our people not only crystal clear, but we want the world to be able to see, hear, and know what has happened. This is groundbreaking. We are still working now to make certain we obtain the million signatures that we want to take to the United Nations. Of course, we haven't accomplished that yet. We did not put forth as much of effort as we had planned to, mainly because that campaign was going to be geared to boots on the ground, okay? And that meant getting out into our communities. Well, certainly we can't do that. And so we're kind of rescheduling or readjusting the schedule because, there is a lot going on out there. And I'm telling you, I'm not, one or two conspiracies or whatever, but I certainly believe that something is being put out there now in the air or in whatever. I can sense something out there that is really not good. And so I don't put anything past this government. And therefore, I really do believe that something is being put out in the air. So with that said, folks, please be very, very careful. I don't believe all the stuff that they've been saying at all, and that's just my own personal opinion, but I do strongly believe that something is out there. Something is being put out there that is not healthy. And it's being done intentionally, and it's chemical, biological, or what have you. So again, definitely be cautious, take precaution. Those that are into natural health, by all means, you might want to double up on some of your stuff right now. Again, turmeric, ginger, lemon, other things like that. Definitely make sure you have that on hand because there is certainly something going on out there. At any rate, moving right along for tonight, we're going to commemorate 51 years ago the murder, the assassination, conspiracy. That was really a conspiracy. COINTELPRO. It was planned. It's something that was, in fact, just the routine of this government, really, the way they did things during that time period. They would set people up often, and we have so many cases, so many reports about how, the cops all over the country were setting up our people, particularly people, groups like the Black Panther Party. And what we're going to do with the We Charge Genocide 21 campaign is to make certain that as many of our people as possible are made aware, are more familiar, rather, with what COINTELPRO was then and is now, okay? Because even though you won't hear the terminology COINTELPRO, which, of course, represented counterintelligence program, which was, of course, under the jurisdiction or the administration of J. Edgar Hoover, and that being the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And there was a specific program geared specifically to and about Black folks. In fact, when you begin to look closer at some of the documents that we're going to be sharing with you in the very near future, you will literally see some of the language that was put in some of the reports, including things that indicated they wanted to make certain there would not be a rise of a Black Messiah, meaning somebody Black who could really galvanize our people, really mobilize our people. They made certain that they were going to do whatever they could to, you know, to make sure that that couldn't happen. And certainly with someone like Fred Hampton Sr., you've got to know that that was quite evident that he had a certain capability and was doing it, needless to say. Tomorrow, we will have a full day starting, I believe, around 12 o'clock, 12:30, tomorrow up until really till we do New Day almost. I think we're going to finish up tomorrow around 8 o'clock with our Zoom, and then we'll pick it back up at 10:30 for our regular New Day broadcast. But tomorrow, family, you might want to jot some of this down. We have a whole lot of folks coming in tomorrow to provide information. Certainly the Jericho Movement, Brother Jihad will be joining us. And Brother Jihad, if you listen, I'm going to call you back shortly. I saw you called. Of course, and Cobra will be joining us. Brother Jamoke, who is the former, one of the former co-chairs of in Cobra, but also Brother Cam, who is presently one of the national co-chairs, will be joining us. And again, tomorrow is to introduce you to the various groups, organizations that have been doing work around the issues of reparatory justice / reparations, also other work relevant to genocide or addressing the issues of genocide and human rights violations. So we're going to be talking with Brother Jamoke not just about, you know, what he was able to do during his tenure of being the chair, co-chair for NCOBA, but also he is a member of the Republic of New Africa. And again, we talked the other evening, last night, was it? No, not before last, with Baba Bilal Suni Ali. No, last night, with Baba Bilal Suni Ali. And of course, he told us about Queen Mother Moore. And so the organization that she also co-founded along with NCOBA was the Republic of New Africa. And again, big ups to the Republic of New Africa, because certainly for myself and others, and I dare say for those who are yet to come, they've set an excellent example of what we need to be doing right now, all right, to set up a provisional government. That's right, a provisional government. And what, like almost 50 years ago? I think it was 50 years ago. So to be today just kind of talking about, you know, having an organization or an association, all that, I mean, it's all good. But to focus on us having our own societies and nations is absolutely necessary in this day and age. So, again, big ups to the Republic of New Africa, RNA, because again, Baba Obadeli, who of course is an ancestor now, along with Queen Mother Moore, along with so many others who are no longer with us, they guided us, they showed us what we need to be doing. So for those of you who don't know, we're going to help you to know. MWM, A Million Black Women Rising, the Global AFCON Village, we're going to make sure that information is disseminated adequately. And we're talking about videos and books and other things to make certain that you are able to be more familiar with those who have come before us and the work that they've done. Okay, it's very, very important, because some people think, you know, that some of this stuff just started or they're talking something new or whatever. And I mean, to some degree, it is new because, hey, technology is new in comparison. So yeah, there are some things that are, you know, kind of new. But fundamentally speaking, we are supposed to know about certain things in order to advance it, not think that we're just starting something. So when I hear like Black Lives Matter and all of that, I mean, again, you know, I mean, that works for whomever it works for, and it's all good for whomever it's all good for. But those who want to connect to the kind of work that has already been exemplified, that has already been sacrifices have been, I mean, serious sacrifices have been made. With that said, our political prisoners, for example, I don't know many political prisoners from Black Lives Matter. I know some people got locked up, and I know one that's right in jail right now, you know, because they will target you whether you call yourself a Black Lives Matter or whatever if you're doing certain kinds of things. But my point is, you know, a certain type of radicalness, for lack of a better word, a certain type of self-determination, and that is absolutely pro-Black and connected to history, connected to culture, connected to traditions. That's what we're talking about. So, you know, I'm not trying to downplay what other folks are doing, but at the same time, I make it very clear. We don't say Black Lives Matter. We say Black Life is the matter, okay, because we are the substance of all of this stuff. We are the matter, you see. We are it. And so all of this stuff is a distraction and a diversion. And so from my vantage point and others, you know, we're not buying into that. A lot of that stuff is reactionary, which is why oftentimes you see how it pops in and pops out, pops in and pops out. You know, so we'll go more into that later so that people have a better idea how to distinguish and differentiate stuff that's a little more genuine and coming from a tradition that's connected to some traditions, okay? So anyway. So today, of course, we want to commemorate our ancestor, Chairman Fred Hampton Sr. Tomorrow, Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. will be joining us for our Reparatory Justice Preliminary Conference, which, again, will begin around 12:30 tomorrow. It will run straight through till around 8 o'clock. Joining us tomorrow, again, is Chairman Fred. Also, we have Brother Bomani, who is also from the Republic of Africa, but he's also one of the serious workers with the George Jackson University. All right, he will be with us tomorrow. Sister PM Africa will be joining us. Brother Kaji Touré, he's a former political prisoner who is also doing a piece on December 10th for human rights as it pertains to political prisoners. Who else do we have tomorrow? Oh, gosh. I'm going to get the list of folks shortly and read some of it to you. But it's a full day tomorrow. And, you know, you're going to get a lot of good information tomorrow. Okay. And so, again, starting at 12:30, if you don't already have the Zoom, if you don't already have the Zoom information, you can just email us at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. And you can also, well, that'll be your best bet. That's going to be your number to call, but your best bet is to email us at that number so that we can email you the link. Okay. The other thing we want to share with you is that we need folks to start going to the collective Black People's Movement location, and that is where we have our page where you can sign on to what we call the letter of intent. Now, we're not going to send the signature yet to the UN for the letter of intent. We're not going to send that to them yet, but we are going to send the preliminary letter of intent on December the 10th. So again, on December the 10th, we will be sending to the United Nations the letter of intent. The letter of intent, and this will be the preliminary letter, the letter of intent will basically put them on notice, and that is to let them know that we are preparing to file formal charges against the United States government for crimes against humanity. And, of course, that means genocide. That means, family, that we now have to get very, very organized. So for folks who be talking stuff about what we should do and all this stuff, well, we're not going to see who's going to actually step up and do some things, okay, because this is a lot of work. And for those who are really serious about being free, then you're going to be doing something. I guarantee you, you're going to have to do something, because that's what time it is. We call it the horizon of the Ma'atik Epoch. And so Ma'atik Epoch makes reference to a specific time, specific era that, you know, what we say Ma'at is going to manifest and kind of, you know, move out, prevail, and do some things. We are entering into the era, E-R-A, of Ma'at. And that means truth, justice, reciprocity, honor, balance, righteousness, law, and we call it natural law, of course, and universal law. And these are the types of things that we're now getting ready to put in motion. Now, for those that do not know, of course, 23 years ago, the historic, original Million Women March occurred. Well, let me give you a little tidbit for those who are kind of into metaphysics. It's time to break down some of the science of MWM, which is what we are now prepared to do. And by the way, the 100 amazing facts about the Million Women March becomes available for you to pre-order during Kwanzaa time. Yep. During Kwanzaa time, you can obtain the 100 amazing facts about the Million Woman March. It's one of our fundraisers because, you know, as we proceed, we've got to really look at filing a lot of stuff as we proceed with the charges of genocide. It is very costly. So, you know, we have to be very realistic. And again, we're going to see what Black folks are really serious about some of the things that, you know, we've been saying and doing, okay? And so, again, hold on one moment. Let's just check something. Okay. All right. Very good. Okay. I'm sorry. I had to check my message real quick. Somebody was sending me a message. I was trying to do that and talk at the same time. Okay. Anyway, by the way, Sister Gabrielle will be joining us very shortly with her special report. Okay. At any rate, we are going to need quite a bit of finances to make certain that we're able to do the kinds of work that is going to be necessary. We are planning to go to various cities to hold not only forums, but allow people to do testimonials. That stuff has to be recorded. It has to be, what is it called? You know what they do in court, they used to do in court stenography, that kind of record. They would have to be coordinated by city. And then, you know, the state would be put together. For example, if you have New Jersey, well, there's Camden and there's Newark and maybe one other city that we're looking at, you know, combining as it pertains to gentrification, as it pertains to mass incarceration or homelessness. All of those things are, in fact, genocide. So we have to show data. We have to be able to show and do so over a period of time, you see, from 5 to 10 years. We have to be able to really be able to do presentations to the various bodies in such a way that they get a very concise, clear picture of what we're saying. Okay, unfortunately, that's the kind of work that this will entail. And so we, again, are saying right now it's the time to get involved. There are task forces that are being put in place. There are collectives, the Black Human Rights Collective, I think I see Sister Manira in queue, and I'm going to try to bring her in a few moments because, again, starting tomorrow and Sunday, we begin to start formulating committees all over the country that are Black Human Rights Collectives, Black Human Rights Network. Those cadres, those groups have got to begin to do research, polling, or other kinds of things that will enable our people to have input directly. They're going to also have to start putting out information in their community. Now, of course, we can't do it the way we had anticipated, which was, you know, by hand, putting it on your cars, things of that nature, because, you know, again, COVID just has knocked out some of that boots on the ground kind of stuff. But we will be using social media to whatever degree we possibly can. For those who are legalese or people who are in the legal arena in one way or the other, be it an attorney, be it you're doing some kind of legal work, you have an interest in law, what have you, we need you to come on board. There's something for everyone, be it, again, research, be it the actual putting together of documents or helping to write documents, things of that nature. There's a lot of work that has to get done, both on the local levels, on the regional levels, on the national level, and then on the international level. And so, for example, every city that we are talking about having to be represented needs to have a Black human rights kind of entity, be it a committee, a board, or something that can work directly with your city government, okay? Because we need to make certain that certain things are happening. For example, there needs to be, on the community level, an entity that is going to make certain that information about H.R. 40 is distributed in our community, at your churches, schools, or whatever, okay? That has to happen. Now, whether you agree with H.R. 40 or not, that's not the point. The point is we need to make certain that information is circulated and people have the opportunity to debate it, to, you know, have views about it or whatever. They still have the right and deserve to at least see information. There's a lot of stuff that I don't particularly care for in certain things, but we have to be responsible enough to make sure that our people at least know what it is, okay? So, again, the committees in the cities, community-based, will make certain that community-based organizations and others are going to have basic fundamental information about what human rights is, what it is that we're doing, how they can get involved, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so again, those who are interested in coordinating, organizing in your city, we need for you to connect with us ASAP. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com, or you can go to nbhrproject@gmail.com. Again, nbhrproject@gmail.com. That's National Black Human Rights Project. That's what that stands for. And also, that's our PayPal, so you can always send a donation there. And again, that's nbhrproject@gmail.com. Going back to a letter of intent, sign on to the letter of intent. Why is it that white folks can put stuff out there and get thousands of responses in one day? I mean, you know, I'm not even talking about the fundraising that they do, raising thousands and millions of dollars in 1, 2, 3 days. I'm talking about right now, we're just saying, look, will you at least just sign on to the letter of intent and make a commitment to get 10 more people? That's the least somebody can do. Make a pledge to 10 people, okay? If each person did that, if a large number of our people did that, this thing would be done. First phase would be done, okay? So, again, that's what we want folks to do. You know, those who commemorate Kwanzaa, when you have your online virtual Kwanzaa celebrations or commemorations, have folks to sign on to the letter of intent. What a better way to commemorate Nguza Saba by doing something that is going to be continued on for the next year. So again, go to cbpm.org/WeChargeGenocide21. Again, cbpm.org/WeChargeGenocide21. All you have to do is fill that out. That's going to go towards the letter of intent, our first 1,000,000 signatures that we will be taking to the United Nations. That's what that campaign is for. And certainly you're more than welcome to make a donation as well, and donation information is on that site page as well. Okay. Let me see. The other thing before we get ready to bring Sister Gabrielle in, I just want to thank those who have participated in this week's session. Brother Obi Agbuna was with us, and we talked with him earlier this week about our campaign that is We Reserve the Right. Yep. So we are directly linking to our Cuban allies. Again, in terms of this vaccine that's getting ready to happen, y'all, I hope y'all ready, because it's coming. In fact, it's already here, by the way, but you know, they're just waiting to figure out or to work further on how they're going to distribute it. At any rate, what's the plan? That's all I can say. So again, we have certain things that are in motion, almost ready to go. And so, you know, we're going to make certain that we will at least have some leg to stand on in fighting back when it comes to whatever thing that they're talking about distributing or disseminating when it comes to that vaccine. And by the way, I don't know if any of you saw the recent article. I know we put it out through our network with Melinda Gates. She did an article for, I believe it was New York Times. And, you know, talked about how, you know, how many years they've been working on, you know, getting this vaccine or getting vaccines out there. And, in the article, it even stated that the Biden administration is going to be now, you know, in the forefront to make certain that vaccines are available worldwide. Yep, that's what the article said. That's what she supposedly said. And so I want you all to connect some of those dots. They ain't black dots, but they some kind of polka dot, maybe. But anyway, meaning, you know, they already made the deals and the connections with each other about how they were going to, you know, move this kind of vaccine and other stuff through. And so it is definitely in the works. I'm going to open up the mic for you all. If you have some information you want to share, certainly we welcome you to do so while we wait for Sister Gabrielle to join us. And again, if you were in on any of the sessions that we've done so far this week, you can let us know what you thought about some of that. Of course, in the evening, we also have Baba Bilal Suni Ali joining us, and he gave us a lot of information about Queen Mother Moore and, you know, just a lot of other kinds of things relevant to reparations and the movement during the 1960s, 70s. And then we also had some technical difficulties. We had Dr. Dolores Blakely and so we kind of was having some problems again with the audio. She couldn't get in by way of her computer, so we were trying to patch her in by way of our telephones, but that just wasn't working out well. So we'll have her joining us tomorrow night. She'll be joining us for our regular edition of New Day Resurrection. Okay, so again, that's 10:30 p.m. Joining us tomorrow night will be Dr. Dolores Blakely. Again, to share with us about some of the experiences that she was able to have with Queen Mother Moore over those 20 or so years that she spent with Queen Mother Moore. Okay, let's see. What else do we have for you? All right. Let's see. Sister Gabrielle is just about ready to join us. I'm going to check now and see. I believe she might be. Yep, I think I do see her in queue. Sister Gabrielle, you got to press 1. I think I see you, but I'm not sure. And again, family, we had a wonderful conversation this week with, with two sister lawyers, as a matter of fact. And it was just absolutely incredible. Without going into a whole lot of details about it, we're going to give you just a little bit of insight into it. But one of the questions I want to raise to all of you is restitution. Now, again, we mentioned earlier that the four areas that we're going to be focusing on with Recharge Genocide is reparations, okay, and we're going to bring more clarity into that as we connect that, of course, with what Mother Callie House called it, or called what she was doing, ex-slave compensation, all right? So we're going to kind of interchange some of this language to make sure we're connecting it appropriately. But at any rate, reparations, restitution. What is restitution? Well, we're going to talk about that briefly tonight. And then for the 17th to the 20th, we're going to literally have sessions on each one of these areas so that people can get a more thorough kind of insight into what we're talking about, what this stuff entails generally and in law, in the context of how we're going to use it to fight, okay? And again, we're using this path or these methods because, y'all know, fighting the devil in their own court, particularly on the more local levels, is just, it's not even, to say tedious puts it mildly. So we got to hit them with some other stuff. And with that, as Brother Malcolm taught us, once other countries see, then we can get other support. At any rate, I'm going to bring Sister Gabrielle in now. You got it, Sister Gabrielle. Buffing up my throat.
I'm sorry, Empress. Just a minute. I had texted you asking you could give me a few extra minutes, so I just need one moment. Be right there. Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay, I think you're ready.
I'm in the middle of packing, yes. I'm in the middle of packing. So what I asked in the text, Empress, is if you could give a brief overview of what it is we're going to talk about, because I don't know what's sensitive, and that way I won't give up anything that's not supposed to be known, and then I'll fill in the blanks. Is that okay?
Okay. All right, so, excuse me. That's in a second, my book. So we were looking at the issue or the area of restitution. So when we talked with Sister Deidre today, she talked to us about, some of what she had done with her filings. Are you there?
Yes, yeah. Okay. I just, I wasn't sure what I could talk about and what I couldn't. Okay, well, today,
again, her filings, that's public stuff.
Okay, all right. Okay, cool. What we spoke about today was the aspect of, my mind just went blank. Forgive me, I'm sorry. Restitution, oh, sorry, my mind went blank. we talked about restitution today. The word would not come to me. We talked about restitution today with Sister Carl and Sister DeAndrea. And one of the things that we learned is that the sister had in the past filed for restitution against several banks in the country, and there was one bank that didn't go through with it, that didn't go through with what they promised, and so that one didn't work out. But there was another situation where she was able to sue, and she was able to have on record that there was a wrong done by these organizations, the banks in the past, as in regards to slavery, and that they owed there had to be some retribution given in respect for what we had gone through, because it was unfair, it was horrific, and in order to receive justice, that's not one of the parts of receiving justice is retribution. And, you know, they have plenty of people on death
row. No, it's not retribution. What she filed is restitution.
Restitution. You're right. I keep getting it. Restitution, my apologies. So she talked about the restitution portion, and the banks that she had sued, they actually had to pay. As I said, there was one institution that they wanted to dictate the terms of what the restitution could be, and we know that when that happens, that we're never going to get the fair end of justice, that we're going to receive whatever pittance it is that they want to give us. But what she was able to do was ensure that the money that she got through the restitution definitely goes into a trust fund for reparations, so that would be a component in it. It's dedicated to that. It can't be done with anything else. And then the sisters that we were on the line with is what I really wanted to talk about, Sister Carla and Sister DeAndrea. These are two powerhouses in law, and they are working with us. They're about the people. They're about the work. They are dedicated and committed, and the enthusiasm with which they came and were making plans as to how we can move forward, suggestions, the people that we can join up with, the coalitions we can build to ensure that this is a issue that we can take further, not just the banks that pay, but the others as well, and go further and ensure that when it comes to reparations that we do have restitution, because that's an important component of reparations. If we don't receive restitution, then what good is it? Every other group of people that's received that has been the Jews, it's been the Japanese, they received restitution, and they're doing economically well, whereas we aren't. And, you know, in our country, they bombed our towns where we had thriving financial institutions, and it's just unfair. It's been unfair, and now that we're about to serve notice that this is a new day, and we're a new crew, and we're a new team, and we're not playing that mess. And, you know, I'm just looking forward to the outcome, and I'm just so excited that we are leading the charge.
Yep, and so let me just give a couple of points of clarity. One, so reparations, and here's how you have to begin to really see the difference in terms of the applications and what can be filed with what entities. For example, generally speaking, we're talking about reparations. So a lot of what we're talking about will come under reparations or reparatory justice. However, there's certain aspects that can be applied to some specific areas. For example, restitution. Now, what Sister DeAndrea did, and again, her name is, and you can Google her, and you can literally see some of her filings, okay? It's online. You can literally see what she filed in 2004, 2005. The cases are there. The opinions are there. The responses are there. So again, you want to go to, you can put in DeAndrea Farmer Pellerman, and I'll spell that for you in a few moments. But at any rate, what was so groundbreaking for what Sister DeAndrea did was no one that we know of had actually filed a suit against corporations. So in this case, in this context, restitution was specifically applied to corporations who had a history, be it directly or indirectly, with the transatlantic slave trade. So a company whose parent company, because see, that's what she had to, this is why it was so interesting, because the research that she had done helped her to see that some companies from the, you know, not just the 1800s, but you know, way back to the 1500s, 1600s, that some of those companies had children, meaning, you know, their descendants or whatever, had other companies that came about from other decades, other centuries. Some of them existed, or if not the, the direct relatives, the companies still existed in some other form. So what she was able to do was to really do the research that showed you who some of these people were. One name that you will see, or two names that's on record, is Wachovia and Aetna. Okay? These two groups had been literally researched and was shown that they were companies that were associated with parent companies or other companies that were, in fact, involved in the transatlantic slave trade as it pertains particularly to insurance. So that's what she was able to uncover, at least to the greatest extent, where she literally began to file, okay? That was groundbreaking. So that's why it's really important that we know of some of the incredible work that some of our people have done and are doing. So, again, you can check some of that out for yourself. I'm going to give you the, her name very shortly again. But the other thing, going back to Sister Gabrielle, the other thing I want to also mention is that, even though she filed those cases, again, it kind of, you know, there's something in law known as a precedent, and so she was able to, you know, kind of break ground. So now we're able to move to some of the next steps. So Sister Gabrielle mentioned a little while ago retribution. Retribution, which is a little different, well, it's a lot different from restitution. Usually restitution is going to mean money, okay, or some other kind of fair exchange or whatever. But it tends to be in a little more corporate structure, right? Restitution, it kind of is more in that realm. Retribution gets into punishment. It can also be compensation, but it gets into punishment and it possibly in the context of folks going to jail. Okay, the restitution, you don't see that. But in retribution, you can see that. It can mean you going to jail. So now, the position that we're taking with Witch House Genocides is two. Number one, there's no statute of limitations on murder. All right? The other thing, too, is this is why it's so beautiful to connect the black dots. Today, as we've seen in this past year, we've seen many murders of our people. I mean, over the years, but certainly this last year, there's some that really kind of, you know, had people in a certain kind of mindset. So from, you know, we've talked to Sister Tawanda Jones, whose brother was murdered 5 years ago by cops in Baltimore. Those cops, there was no punishment. There was no nothing. They weren't even fired. And so that is the situation with some of these cops. Nothing happens to them at all. So now with us bringing forward the position of Witch Hunt Genocide, it enables us to now put in retribution justice, retributionary justice. Retribution meaning go to jail. So our position is that we now have a tool, an instrument in law that deals with retribution. So we can now say we have something to work with to assure that these cops can be punished for murder and go to jail. You see, that's very different from what's presently going on and what has presently going on. So again, just give everyone an idea about some of the difference between retribution and restitution. And again, going back to Sister Gabrielle and talking more about Sister Dita, she helped us to really get, you know, more clarity about how to use that instrument in law when she filed against those corporations. See, When you talk about reparations, usually you're referring to, particularly in international law, you're referring to a government. A government. Restitution tends to be a little more inclined with a corporation. Okay? So we're putting it all together in every aspect of it. And we're going to talk more about this tomorrow, family, and definitely for our sessions coming up for December 17th. We're going to really like break it down in some workshops so that people can really get ready to, just do what we got to do and have the information and the kind of insight that you're going to need for the future. Okay, let's go back to Sister Gabrielle. So, I agree, Sister Gabrielle, talking with Sister Carla and Sister Deidre earlier today, I mean, it was so inspiring. To hear both of them, put their heads together and begin to, help with further strategies on how we're going to move forward. And again, family, by the way, Sister Gabrielle is one of our paralegals who will be working very closely with our lawyers. And again, we put the call out to you all. If any of you are interested in any aspect of the legal stuff in working with this project, please definitely get in contact with us. If you have any interest in that area of it at all, we welcome your input again. It could be research. It could be helping to, write articles or helping to disseminate any information that's relevant to the legal stuff. All of those types of things are certainly going to be needed. We're going to need people to type up stuff, you name it. So let's go back to Sister Gabrielle. So Sister Gabrielle, so what kind of things for you, what did it kind of inspire for you in hearing that conversation today with two incredible Black women attorneys?
Did I get to fight? I get to fight a good fight. for real, that I get to fight a good fight. I'm on the side of right, and to be at the forefront with these powerful sisters. I mean, I've worked with Sister Carla on several levels. I met her when she was working with the Tenants Union Representative Network, when we would have our network meetings for the advisory board, and I saw how powerful she was then. And the first time I saw her, I knew that I needed to introduce her to Empress, because I just knew that she was the right person to come in and help us. But I never imagined that it would go in the way it did, because Sister Carla is just so dynamic. I had no idea she was going to run for office. I had no idea that she wasn't going to be mad that she didn't win. But then I wasn't surprised knowing who she is. Because she's about people, she's about truth, and she's about justice. And when she saw what was going on in that arena, she didn't even want to be bothered. So she said she decided to go back to where she's most effective, and in the Sister DeAndrea, my goodness, to have just come up with the thought that this could happen and to put all the pieces together and actually go forward and sue and win and set precedent. And for me to be able to work with these two sisters along with Empress, it's just mind-boggling, but it's very exciting. And I'm so happy to be part of the media so that I can report on it justly and fairly. And, because it's important that we create our own narrative so we can get the word out when it's time, during different phases, and get it out correctly. And no one can dispute it, just as no one can dispute our record. No one can beat our record. And, I'm just in it for the fight, and that's what excites me.
No, that's right. So, family, listen, if you want to know more about Sister Deidre, go to, her website is Restitution Study Group. The Restitution Study Group, not the, but Restitution Study Group. .com. But you can also just Google her. A whole bunch of stuff will come up. Believe me, she's the executive director of the Restitution Study Group. But Deidre, her name is spelled DEADRIA, former dash Perelman, and that's P-A-E-L-L-M-A-N-N. And again, she is a, actually she's a professor of law and, of course, an attorney, but she teaches law. And so, again, her work in terms of restitution in particular is just, you know, there's nothing else out there like it. And, of course, she did work with INCOBRA for several years as well. Okay, so again, you need to see that work because, again, for those of you who are either thinking about going into law, particularly if it's about social justice, and particularly if it's about our people, you will find her work to be, you know, quite inspiring. Okay, the other thing, oh, getting back to Sister Caller, her name is Caller Cruel, interesting, and it's C-R-U-E-L, Caller Cruel. And she did run 4C Council last year. Was it last year or this year? No, this year. What year was that, Sister Gabrielle? I don't even remember. I tell you, COVID drops time on us. What, did she run last year?
Yes, it was last year.
Okay. She ran for city council, but she is a practicing attorney. She's on hiatus somewhat right now, but she's based here in Philly, and she has a group that she works with. I'm going to pull up that information for you shortly as well. But she does have an active group that deals with areas of law. Her specialty, as Sister Gabrielle mentioned, is housing and things that's relevant to property. That is her specialty, even though she does have other areas of expertise. But her specialty area is housing, real estate, and things like that.
And she's also a social justice attorney.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. Absolutely, absolutely. And so, again, we're putting teams together, family, that is really going to be about doing the work. We have 21 areas, which, again, we'll start breaking that down for you this weekend. And then for part two or for the primary kind of sessions coming up on December the 17th through the 20th. Again, December 17th. Through the 20th, you will need to register for those sessions. You will need to register. There will be a couple of preliminary sessions, or rather sessions leading up to that during that week. We'll be doing one, part three of our We Reserve the Right. Part three of that will be on the 15th of, is it the 16th? Got to check that. Maybe the 16th of December, yeah, the day before. So there'll be a session that'll be, you'll need to register for that. That'll be Zoom as well. But for the reparatory justice, now you need to register for most of those sessions, okay? A couple of them you will not have to register for. But again, you need to contact us at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. In the meantime, I was trying to pull up Sister Caller's website. Hopefully I'll find it for you before we close out. But in the meantime, I know, Sister Gabrielle, you're getting ready to head out. But before you do, you have any closing comments for us and thoughts? And again, family, Sister Gabrielle will be working closely with us to put together the the community, the Black Community Law Institute that we are working on. Sister Gabrielle, what is it, you know, as we've been talking about that, what is it that you're looking for that you're going to need to assist you in some of that?
Oh, gosh. There's so much I'm not really sure yet because I'm still researching. I need help with research. I'm looking forward to the researching because I'm finding things very interesting. There's something I'm going to share with you that I believe that you're really going to like, but I want to share it to you privately because it might give a little bit of what we're doing away. But I'm looking forward to the element of surprise. You know, I'm looking forward, again, to the element of surprise. I'm looking forward to being so prepared that no one can dispute anything that we come with, and that because it's that, I mean, you know, they used to say if you didn't want someone to know something, put it in a book. Well, we read the books. We study the books, and some of us have written books. And we're prepared. We're more than prepared. We have a dynamic team. We have a dynamic leader and all the contacts that she's put together. And the I'm also looking forward to learning more. I've just reconnected with an old friend after 30 years, and she said, I know you have a degree right now because you were a professional student. And I said, no, I spent all these years proving why I didn't necessarily have to have a degree and still do the same work. So just to learn and to be able to work and be at the forefront is what's really empowering to me, what really made me want to celebrate and to know that right there, written in paper, a hidden jewel is there for us to take it and bring and just run with and have victory for all of us as Black people of African descent.
No, I say Black people. I don't care who don't like that because, you know, again, and you know, it depending on what circle you in, and we have to be not only cognizant but smart enough to be flexible, you know, to be able to, you know, define ourselves for ourselves, put it that way. This is what we were taught. That's what self-determination is about, Kuji Chandaliya. That's what it's about, at least, you know, to some degree. We reserve the right to define ourselves. And while some, you know, have some opposition to being called Black, I do not, others do not, and there's a reason, because we are dealing with it from a universal context, not from what these people said. I mean, you're going to believe what they said because they wanted to make it negative, because they said some of Black codes and that's what it meant. You're going to latch onto that and you know, consolidate or, you know, help strengthen their position? No. I don't care what they said. I mean, no, I won't say I don't care. But at the same time, I'm not going to let them regulate for me something of that type when I know that within the universe, you know, there is, do anybody know what a black hole is? Because they don't call that green or yellow or what, they call it a black hole. And I know that people say, well, that's, you know, that's just define a thing. Well, okay. You know, I'll reserve that argument for another day. But the point is, no matter what name we call ourselves, it wasn't that, once upon a time, it wasn't that either. So anyway, I digress. I'm sorry. But I'm just saying, you can call, you can say whatever you want to say, Sister Gabrielle. All right, as long as it's applicable to what we're talking about and who we are, what we think, not what somebody else thinks, okay? Because we're clear. And so if somebody else wants to try to twist that around, then let them try to do that. But anyway, I think, and in fact, I know, again, for those of you who are affiliated, or if you know of a student who is either taking law courses or thinking about going to law school, hey, have them to get in touch with us, because this will be an excellent, excellent, kind of, if not training for them, thing that certainly they'll be able to you know, advance from, to grow from, you know. And that's one of the things that we're doing. We're going to be reaching out to some of the colleges to, you know, see if we can work with some of the schools in this project, you see. And so, again, we'll definitely keep you all updated on that. Howard has a law school. Certainly, we hope that one of our historically Black institutions will be, you know, willing to support something that is referencing 400-plus years of genocide, of crimes against humanity, against our people. I mean, what a wonderful thing to do, to lend yourself to. So we certainly will be contacting Howard's Law School. And I think Morgan has one, too. Do you know, Sister Gabrielle, if Morgan has a law school? I think they do.
No, I don't, but I will look it up real quick.
Yeah, I think Morgan has a law school as well. But, again, we will certainly be, you know, checking it out and contacting any of the locations, particularly, again, the historically black colleges. I mean, certainly we have to contact them and make sure that they're on board. There's a lot of energy being put on them presently. So, you know, we might as well make sure we connect those dots as well. Okay, I was multitasking, y'all, and I did find Sister Paula's website. Her team is called the Legal. Hold on one minute. Let me make sure that's LegalEmpowermentGroup.com. Yep, the LegalEmpowermentGroup.com. Okay, you can go to that site and you will find Get Empowered in Community Courses. Become a participant in making society better. Okay, so that's Sister Carla Krull is a part of that group. It's called the Legal Empowerment Group, and they're offering classes or courses, you know, again, in the legal areas to really help to empower you. It says giving voice to the voiceless, equipping citizens with the means to recognize their power to prevent injustice, poverty, and cripple any infrastructure that interferes with their basic human rights. See? There it is, y'all. All right. So, again, you want to get more information, one of our attorneys is working with us is attorney, Carla Krull. And you can go to that site, LegalEmpowermentGroup.com. All right.
Yes, and Morgan does have a law school.
I'm sorry, say it again, Sister Gabrielle.
Morgan State does have a law school.
Oh, okay. I thought it did. Wonderful. All right. Well, we're putting that on our agenda. I know they're out of school now, but when they return back, they'll have something from us saying, you know, we certainly would love to have you joining our legal team. And in fact, I know of a brother that works at Morgan, so I will reach out to him personally and see if he can get some direct contact information for us. Okay. All right, family. Well, we're going to get ready to close this session out. Again, we remind everyone tomorrow, starting at 12:30. Sister Gabrielle, is it?
I believe so. One moment. Let me see. I think it's 12. You said. Let me just double check.
Okay. All right.
No, you're right.
12:30
tomorrow. 12:30 to 9:30.
Okay. Okay, very good. So we will start at 12:30 tomorrow, family. It's pretty much a full day. We're going to be talking with a lot of folk. Again, Brother Janoke, he is from the Republic of New Africa, and also, of course, in Cobra. He's the former co-chair of In Cobra, actually. And, of course, Brother Cam, who is the present co-chair of In Cobra. And again, family, look. This is about information. We know that folks have different opinions about different groups and different other things, and that's fine. But our position is to provide information. You do whatever you want to do with it or not. That's perfectly up to you. But we're going to bring you information. It's just like for the next session for December 17, we're hoping to have somebody from ADOS. Again, it's not about agreeing with positions per se. It's about at least having information. Again, there's some other group. Oh, by the way, we're going to be talking with Sister from the Reparations Union group, Sister Anita Bell. I'm not sure if she's joining us tomorrow or the next session, but she's definitely agreed to join us and to tell us about what her group has done over the years over there in Detroit. Again, there are several other groups that are human rights groups that will be joining us. So tomorrow we will give you some insight into that. We'll be focusing again on COINTELPRO because there's some major things going on with some of our political prisoners right now, that being, of course, Dr. Matula Shakur, Baba Iman Jamil Alamin, and, of course, Mumia Abu-Jamal. needless to say. In fact, something's coming up very soon in regards to Mumia Abu-Jamal, and also, of course, the compassionate release that is really like, you know, right now, he, with Dr. Mutula Shakur, is, of course, Brother Baba Russell Malone Schultz. Please go to those websites, family, because there's petitions for all of them. We will have Sister Pam Africa joining us tomorrow. Oh, I meant to get some times for you. Where did I do that? I don't have my pad with me. I'm going to go off the top of my head, and I think I remember. Okay, I think Sister Pam will be joining us at 5:30. Let's see. I believe, no. She'll be joining us at 6:30, along with Chairman Fred Hampton Jr., Brother Kazi Ture. Again, he's a former political prisoner as well. And let's see, I think at 5 o'clock is when we had Brother Jamoke. And also we have Brother Cam will be joining us. So he's on our 1 o'clock session. All right. But again, if you email me at nationalmwm@aol.com, we'll send you the itinerary. And we'll also be posting it later tonight. So those of you who are in our or on our e-list or on our blast, you'll be getting it tonight. Okay? All right. All right, Sister Gabrielle, I thank you so much. I know you're getting ready to go do something. So I'm going to go to you for your closing comments.
It's just time to work. It's time to stop playing around. If you're either going to be about it or you're not. If you're not, don't waste our time. No offense, but we don't have time for this. We're in a serious fight for the for our people, for decades and generations to come. And this is no time to play around. But if you are, we welcome you. We want you. Please come on board and help us, because this is a great work, and we want to be part of this historic fight that we are about to take on, that we're about to have victory in. That's it.
Oh, yeah. All right. Before we close out, let me just ask if there's anyone that has any comments or thoughts for us tonight before we close out. If so, you can press 1 now, and we certainly would love to hear your comments or thoughts. Again, you can press 1, and we will certainly allow you to do that.
Okay. Cool.
All right, so again, family, remember tomorrow night, we do have one. Okay, caller at 1-933. Your mic is open. Welcome to this special edition of New Day.
Greetings, ladies. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. And I would like to get the schedule of the different events that you have. Where can we go to find that so I can know which sessions I might want to participate in?
Okay, as I said, if you email us at nationalmwm@aol.com, we will forward it to you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, that'll be ready very, very shortly to send out in the next hour.
Okay, great. Yeah, I just tuned in about 15 minutes ago, so I didn't know that, but I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Yeah, I like what you're doing. I like it. Okay. Well, you girls be blessed.
We've had a wonderful week. We've had a wonderful week, Sister Sheila. Oh, my gosh. Woo.
Yeah, no, I love what you're talking about, this legal empowerment and stuff like that. We really need to know that. You know that legal entity? Yeah,
no.
That's awesome. So you start, you said, tomorrow at 12:30 and go through till 9:30 p.m.?
Yep. Yes, indeed. And
all
day tomorrow.
Long night. Okay. Well, then that's good. So I will send the email so I can know, because, you know, I'm not going to be able to sit there all day, but I will.
Okay.
You know, but I definitely will plan on tuning in. Definitely.
Very
thank
good.
Very
and thank
much.
You. Once you get it, Sister Sheila, yeah, once you get it, feel free to send it out. You can share it.
Okay, great. Well, excellent work, ladies. Excellent.
Right.
Thank you
well,
very
thank
much.
You. Thank you.
Okay. We'll be tuned in. And then you're going to do 10 o'clock tomorrow night also?
10:30.
After all of them?
Mm-hmm.
10:30,
yep,
okay.
Yeah, our regular program is 10:30. Yeah, we'll have Queen Mother Dr. Blakely with us tomorrow night.
Oh, great. Okay. Excellent.
Yeah, that,
okay.
That's the elder. Yep, that's the elder that was with Queen Mother Moore.
Yes, I remember her maybe a few months back being on as a guest,
yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think so. Yep. Okay, so she'll
yeah.
be joining us.
Yes. Excellent. Excellent. Mm-hmm. Keep up the good work. Excellent. And I'll be
yep.
reaching out to you, sister, about, you know, some things that we were working on, okay?
Okay. Very good. Very good. All right, my
All
sister,
right.
I'll talk with you tomorrow.
All right.
All right.
Peace.
Peace now.
Peace.
Okay, family, so we're going to close this session now because, again, we got a busy day tomorrow starting at 12:30. And what we're going to do is leave you with the words of Chairman Fred Hampton Sr. Remember, this is the day that he was murdered at the age of 21 years of age. Young, up and coming, dynamic, and this is what these people do and have been doing as long as we can remember. But today we remember Chairman Fred Hampton. And remember, tomorrow, Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. will be joining us.
In 1969, on this date, December 5th of 1969, he was only 21 years old, which is December 4th, excuse me, that was yesterday. 1969, he was only 21 years old and already an incredibly important leader of the Black Panthers, and nationally, he was a coach, just sort of extraordinary. And this clip, and it's very interesting to kind of go back and look at people from, you know, some people in the 60s did a very sophisticated political analysis, and in this clip, which you're going to play, and you'll hear Bhaskar, he's talking about how class politics intersects with race, sort of divide the working class and gives this very let's take a listen.
What makes them mad about it? What makes them mad about it? They have
black people and white poor people and red poor people and Puerto Rican poor people and Latin American poor Rican people of poor people of all descent. They have caught up in the movement based on racism.
We don't care what anybody says. We don't make fight 5 or 5 we make it fight 5 or 1 we're gonna fight racism, not racism, but we're gonna fight the top 10. We said we're not going to fight capitalism with black capitalism, but we're going to fight socialism. We said we're not going to fight reactionary pigs and reactionary citizens like this and reactionary citizens like Hanahan. We need other reactions on our part. We're going to fight their reactions for all of us people to get together and have an international force and revolution. That's saying no matter what color you are, you're going to class. And that's saying there's a class over here and there's a class over there. And the reason that this class over here has never did anything to get this class off its back because this is lower, this is upper. This is the oppressed, this is the oppressor. This is the exploited, this is the exploiter. And these people, this class has divided themselves and say, I'm black and I hate white people. I'm white and I hate black people. I'm Latin big and I hate hillbilly. I'm hillbilly, I hate hillbilly. So we fight them off each other. And you bring the testimony of the team, you see, you got teams of all colors. You got teams.
Okay, Bhaskar, what are your thoughts?
And yes, today we certainly have pigs, as they called it then, in all colors. And definitely class is an issue. And tomorrow we will talk more about that with Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. and others. Until next time, family, promote you to the sender. Together we shall win. Peace to you all.